Second Epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, first 7 verses.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
The first two verses of this second epistle to Timothy are very similar to the first two verses of the first epistle to Timothy. I believe it was a very practical thing to have the name of the sender, the author of the epistle, up front, so that the reader or the recipient of the epistle would know right away who has sent the epistle. I imagine that this epistle was delivered to Timothy by another believer, another disciple. I am very confident that that person that brought the epistle to Timothy knew exactly who was the writer, whom the epistle is coming from. By this time, probably Timothy himself could recognize the writing of Paul, or if somebody else was writing, the disciples were mostly familiar to one another, especially those that were active in writing down the apostolic messages or copying the gospel books. And I also think that having the name of the apostle Paul written up front in the beginning of the epistle was an assurance to the readers of the authenticity of this epistle. I believe that the Lord also took care of us today. We don't know the handwriting of the apostle Paul. We don't read Hebrew nor Greek, but we do believe this is an epistle from the apostle Paul to Timothy, and as such the second epistle, and it also contains important gospel messages for us today. As it is often the case in the epistles of the apostle Paul, here also he introduced himself as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God. The power of the apostolic testimony was in that unbroken unity of the Father and the Son working in them and using the words of the gospel message through their lips. And even today, if we have a message in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be by the will of God. If we do anything by the will of God, it must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's indivisible. The Father and the Son are one. The Lord Jesus Christ always did here on this earth all that was pleasing the Father. And all the abundance of the goodness and grace of the Heavenly Father that has been given to us is given through and in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing apart from Him. Only in Christ the Savior we are acceptable to the Father. Only by His merit we receive the promise of life everlasting. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. This promise of life in Christ Jesus, we could say it is as old as the Holy Scriptures, and yet it is as fresh as it can be, as given by the Spirit of God. living in Christ here and now, having that new life in Christ, was the message of the apostolic preaching. Having the promise of everlasting life through Christ is an essential part of the gospel message. I think so many disciples know by heart the verse number 16 in the chapter 3 Gospel according to John, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as an additional assurance, the last verse in that chapter 3 according to John, verse number 36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Again, in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to the Samaritan woman, said, Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In the Gospel according to John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the Jews that desired to kill him, to murder him, and in the verse number 24 he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In the chapter 6, according to John, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the Jews that were eating of the food that the Lord multiplied and apparently expected another good meal. And in the verse number 27, the Lord said to them, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In the verse number 40, the Lord said, This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In the verse number 51, the Lord said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And again in the verse number 57, As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are talking to the rebellious, unbelieving Jews that were contradicting and blaspheming the gospel of the Lord and the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul and Barnabas in the verse number 46 waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. I think it's quite clear that life everlasting in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, was an essential message part of the gospel. In the epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, last two verses, verse 22 and verse 23, Paul wrote, Now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. So that's the life in Christ now and here. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul the Apostle, a messenger of that life everlasting in Christ Jesus by the good will of our Heavenly Father, is writing this second epistle to Timothy, his dearly beloved son, which indicates what a fond relationship, a relationship of charity and loving kindness was between these two disciples, the old apostle Paul and the younger disciple Timothy. And then, as usually, the greetings is grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. All the gifts, all the blessings, whatever good things we receive from the Father in Christ Jesus, it's all by the grace of God. And once we receive the grace of God, we still need His mercy every day, every hour. Even the great apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ were not perfect. And even though they enjoyed the abundance of God's grace, yet they needed His mercy daily. How much more do I need that mercy of our Heavenly Father? None of the gifts and blessings that He has given me I have used as well as that gift and blessing deserves. In the best things that I ever did, there are always weaknesses, and the mistakes are very possible. Having received the grace of God in Christ Jesus, the mercy of our Heavenly Father through the mediation of our great High Priest, Lord Jesus Christ, flows upon our souls continually, and that is the base and the assurance of our peace with God. We are not in opposition. We are at peace with our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus. Even a faithful disciple as Timothy needed to be reminded continually of that grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. How much more we need it today. Paul continued in the verse number 3 and said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. We know that earlier, before his conversion, Paul was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. We know that he was a persecutor, an enemy of the gospel. He was one of the leaders in doing evil to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when, by the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father, he was converted to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, now the Apostle Paul has the forefathers, prophets, patriarchs, all the faithful witnesses whose names have been recorded in the Holy Scriptures as such. These are the forefathers, and walking in their steps, the Apostle Paul said, he is serving the Lord with pure conscience. And in that service and in that pure conscience, the Apostle Paul is thanking God continually, night and day, because he, the Apostle Paul, cannot ever forget Timothy, a faithful and beloved brother in Christ. And as the time is passing by, the desire to see brother Timothy again is growing greater and greater. Greatly desiring to see thee, in the verse number 4, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. How many times is the experience of the believers that the presence of the Lord among us and in our hearts is so strong that we cannot express our gratitude and our affection to one another in any other way but only allowing the tears to flow down our faces. Remembering Timothy's spiritual emotions, love and affection for the Lord Jesus Christ and fellow believers, Paul is being filled with joy again and again. Paul is remembering in the verse number 5 that sincere, honest faith in the heart of Timothy. Paul is also remembering as he mentioned that loving kindness and faithfulness of Timothy, Paul is also remembering the past times and the good moments and experiences of the believers in the preceding generations. The mother of Timothy was a faithful Christian sister, and her mother, the grandmother of Timothy, was also a faithful believer. And in those wonderful and often mysterious ways of God's goodness and grace, that faith in Christ entered into the heart of the grandmother, and then of the mother, and then in the heart of Timothy, even in his youthful years. Paul's persuasion in the genuineness of Timothy's faith was so strong that there was no room for any doubts. And because Timothy is a sincere believer and follower of the Lord Jesus, Paul the Apostle says, "Therefore I put thee in remembrance, I remind you continually, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Among the many precious memories in Paul's mind and heart related to this very good spiritual relationship between the two disciples, Paul is remembering the day of laying on of hands upon Timothy's ordination. It was a precious experience, and it is to Timothy's benefit just as well as to any one of us to stir up that gift, to remember those moments, to remember our promises, our covenant, to remember God's many mercies, and not to allow ourselves to become stale in our spiritual life. If we neglect our spiritual activities and our service to the Lord and to the fellow believers, if we neglect our testimony proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, our courage may turn into fear, our faith into doubts, and instead of having that fervent love for the Lord in our heart, there might be creeping in some disinterest and indifference for the gospel. If we allow ourselves to walk on the path that is not bringing us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, we are on the path to death. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear could be of a few different kinds. If we transgress the will of the Lord, we are going to fear God's judgment. If we neglect our service to the Lord, we are afraid of man. Any fear that is not bringing us closer to the Lord does not come of the Spirit of the Lord. It's the intention and desire of our adversary, the devil. May the Lord keep us all in prayers that He would never allow us to fear in that carnal way, as if the Lord has no power to take care of us, as if we are doubting His goodness and mercy for us, as if He is going to allow something to happen that is not going to be good for our souls. The Lord has given us the spirit of power, and He is always supplying sufficient power for every task, for every situation. When we experience the power of God in our endurance, in His deliverance, we experience the surge of His love in our hearts and the gratitude. For great is His goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. The Lord has given us soundness of mind when we mind the things of the kingdom of God. When we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we do the will of our Heavenly Father, that Christian life is so marvelous, so beautiful, There is so much joy, and the blessings flow like a river. And all of these blessings and gifts we receive with a certain responsibility. We owe to the Lord to labor and to work with His gifts and talents and to multiply the value of our Master. And I think that is the purpose of this epistle and all of the epistles, stirring up our awareness of the gifts of God, remembering what He has given us, not forgetting from where He has delivered us and to where He is bringing us. And doing His will from the heart, we worship Him in deeds, in manners, in words, prayers and praises, proclamation of the gospel, sharing the goodness and grace of our Heavenly Father among the fellow believers, and reaching out to the others that are in need of God's salvation.